it would be good to give, the anatomical name, but also, you know, say, you're on the right.
Right, okay.
Because we won't be seeing you.
Right, right. Is it okay to have this whole image, or do you want just the pieces of the image?
For now, this is okay. Just
okay.
Yeah, just say, you know, this is figure A.
Okay.
And L.
So this
come
is.
Come up just a little bit closer to the mic, please. Okay. That thing has an automatic gain control, and if it doesn't hear you, it's going to hear that.
Right. Okay. I'll hear my computer down there, probably.
Right. It's going to be searching around just now.
Okay. So this is figure Bodiger underscore fig 3. What we see here in the top panel on the right is an area that showed very high activity in people that tended to choose very impulsively and very low activity in people who tended to choose the delayed reward. And we saw the same pattern of activity in the area below it. These are the frontal and parietal areas, which may be forming a functional circuit together. And these two areas also showed an effect of the genotype, so that there was highest activity in these areas in people who had the low dopamine generating genes, and we saw relatively low activity in these areas for people with high levels of dopamine. Let's see. Okay. All right. In this figure down here, we're looking at a part of the temporal lobe, the parahippocampal gyrus. It's near to an area called the amygdala, which has long been known to be involved in emotional responses. And we also found activity in this area that was very high in people who tended to choose the immediate reward and relatively low in people who tended to choose the delayed reward. We think that this might reflect the impact of emotion on the decision-making behavior in subjects, suggesting that people who choose impulsively may have a greater affective impact on their decision-making.
Let's go with that one more time.
Okay.
And just refer to it as, you know, in this figure.
Okay.
In the lower right or whatever.
Okay. Okay. In this figure, we see activity that, again, was high in people who tended to choose impulsively and low in people who tended to choose the delayed reward. It's in a region that has long been implicated in emotional or affective responses, and it suggests that this activity that we saw may reflect greater emotional impact on decision-making in people who choose impulsively and less impact of emotional content on for people who tend to choose for the long term.
Are we going to show the dots? Do you think we ought to have those the graphs? I think the graphs are a little...
Are those all ones? I didn't get a chance to open those that you sent
over. Okay.
Are those all one slide, or are they?
This is all one, but I could chop it up. I sent you this as a whole, and then I also sent you that alone and this alone.
I think the scans of the brain are what we need to.
Okay.
What we need to show.
Okay. Yeah, there's actually a paper that was published recently showing that people accept scientific results more readily if there's a picture of a brain scan.
Oh, is that right?
Whether it contains any information content or not.
It may have nothing to do with the study, but
right.
It's not a brain scan.
That's right.
So it must be good.
Right.
It's like believing someone who wears a tie.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. A white coat effect or something.
Right.
Okay. This slide shows a very different pattern of behavior, as this was the only area we identified that showed very high activity in people who tended to choose the delayed reward and very low activity in people who chose impulsively. What's another aspect of this that's quite interesting is that this area has been identified as behaving abnormally in people with addictive disorders in previous studies. And our data suggests that one way that abnormality in metabolic function in this area may manifest is in decision-making impairments in people with addictive disorders. I don't know if you want to show any of the other ones. This is the, these are the two genetic results, where what this is showing is for those first two areas, the frontal and the parietal, that activity was high in the people with the low dopamine genotype, but that's not a very exciting figure. It's exciting to me, but.
Let's go ahead and throw it in there.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. This, I don't know if you want to show this one either. This is the one just showing that the behavior was different. So this is how impulsive people were. You can see that the low dopamine group was much more impulsive than the other two. Okay. In this figure, I'm taking a plot of the activity level in the first two areas that were shown, the frontal area and the parietal area. And what we found was that independent of alcohol abuse history, that a person's genotype at the COMT, a site in the COMT gene, predicted the activity level in these two areas, such that people with a low dopamine gene, those are on the far right, the VV type, they had the highest level of activity in those two brain areas, and they also were the most impulsive choosers in the group. Okay. And this shows the behavior. Again, this is independent of alcohol abuse history. We've just divided the groups up according to their COMT genotype. And again, on the far right, we have the low dopamine genotype, the VV. And we see that their frequency of choosing the immediate reward was much higher than, significantly higher than the other two groups. It suggests that this genotype could be a risk factor for the kind of decision making that may lead to addictive disorders.
And hopefully in the future we'll be able to identify.
Yes, and so hopefully this could be a tool in the future for identifying people at risk for addictive disorders early and hopefully preventing those disorders from developing.
Right. You probably said this once or twice, but let's let's kind of sum it up, and if you kind of prompted this idea, we mentioned